Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts 1, verses 1 through 7. In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, and giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 years and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. God, we're asking this morning the words of my mouth and that the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing to you, God, and that you would bring your word alive in us, that we would walk out this door different people because we've been together in your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who are newer here to the congregation, hi, Lukey. My name is Joanne DeLeo. I lead the Thursday night praise service that meets here every Thursday night at 7 p.m., which is a very casual come as you are. Bring your joys and your concerns and gather together with your church family. So if you've never experienced the Thursday night service, I invite you to come check it out. For those of you who don't know, I am visually impaired, so I like much better speaking from the floor. When I'm up at the pulpit, I feel very removed from all of you, and I love to be in community. So I'm going to be preaching from the floor, so if anybody in the choir would be more comfortable sitting here, feel free. Otherwise, excuse my back. So today is Pentecost, which is a day a lot of churches don't really even recognize, but to me, right after Christmas and Easter, Pentecost is my favorite church holiday. Tom read for you from the very beginning of the book of Acts, written by Luke. And if you were paying attention, you heard Tom read Luke write in his former book, meaning the Gospel of Luke, which Bible historians and scholars think Luke probably wrote along with Paul. Paul was probably the one helping Luke out. But he wrote the Gospel of Luke and then the book of Acts. And he sort of gives us a summary of what's happened since the resurrection. So Jesus appeared to his disciples many times over a 40-day period. And one time when they were gathered together, he said this to them. He said, "Stay here in Jerusalem for a little while, because my Father's going to send the gift that he promised you. He's going to send the Holy Spirit." And Jesus tells his disciples, "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power. So wait here for it." And as the disciples wait, Jesus is ascended into heaven and goes back to the Father. And then comes the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish feast, one of the feasts where people came from all over the surrounding areas to gather in Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And as they were there, as they were gathered there, and Jesus' disciples were gathered together in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came. God poured out his Spirit, and it looked like tongues of fire, and the wind blew, and all of a sudden, people were speaking in languages that they had no knowledge of before. It was kind of a wild scene. Some of the people watching were amazed. Other people said, "What is wrong with these people? They must be drunk." Crazy stuff going on in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And then Peter stands up, preaches the first sermon, if you will, to the first church, telling these people exactly who Jesus was and how his coming had been foretold by David and how God had promised through the prophet Joel that in the last days he was going to pour out his spirit on all people. And as Peter preached this sermon in the power of the Holy Spirit, we read in Acts 2 that the people were cut to the heart. And they said, what do we have to do to get a piece of this thing? And Peter tells them to believe in Jesus, to turn away from their lives that they've been living and to turn to Jesus and be baptized. And then they too would receive the Holy Spirit. And we're told that 3,000 people joined the disciples, the apostles, that day. 3,000 people. Pretty decent response for Peter's first sermon. And so with Pentecost, we really celebrate the birthday of the church. And it was after that that these new believers began to gather together, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayer. And they gathered every day in the temple courts to worship God. There's some pretty cool stuff that was going on with this first church, filled with the Spirit, filled with excitement, just wanting to be together, wanting to share their lives as they watched God move in their midst. So happy birthday, church. And I wish we had time today to really talk about what the church is and what we would like to be and how do we go about being the church. And I don't want to keep you here all afternoon. So I am going to invite you over the next few Thursday nights. We're going to be doing just that. We're going to be thinking about different purposes and goals of the church and how we do church better than we do it now. So we have this new group of believers. We have this crazy morning of Pentecost with the Holy Spirit. And we look at our lives today and say, well, what does that really matter? How does that really fit in with my everyday life, with what goes on here at Beverly Presbyterian Church? Our Pentecostal and charismatic brothers and sisters who worship in those traditions are familiar with the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure for the rest of us Christians, we always spend a lot of time thinking about the Holy Spirit. You know, God is Trinity, 3 in 1, and he's expressed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God the Father, Abba, we understand God as Father. We relate to God as Father. We talk about God as Father. God the Son, Jesus Christ, we've seen him, if not with our physical eyes, we've seen him through the pages of Scripture. The Word became flesh. God fleshed out for us, Emmanuel, God with us. So we at least in some way understand Jesus, God the Son. But what about the Holy Spirit? If we're honest, I think the Holy Spirit scares us a little bit. Because Jesus said, just as the wind goes and you can feel it but you can't see it, so it is with the work of the Spirit. We look at the first day of Pentecost and these wild, crazy happenings. People were accused of being drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it scares us. It disrupts our orderly lives to think too much about the Holy Spirit. If we're honest, we worry sometimes about looking like holy rollers or looking like we're a little crazy. And so sometimes I think we shy away from the Holy Spirit because we don't understand who he is. But the reality of it is the Spirit is with us. And if you have ever come to the place in your life where you've invited Jesus into your heart, when you've realized your need for a Savior, and you've asked him in, that's the work of the Spirit. If you've ever been reading the Bible and you've read a passage you've maybe read a whole bunch of times, and all of a sudden, it comes alive for you. All of a sudden, it means something for you. All of a sudden, you want to write it down or you want to underline it. You want to remember it. That's the Holy Spirit. When you're at the end of your resources and you're not sure you can go on any longer and you're in a situation that's overwhelming you, and all of a sudden you find hope and you find faith to hold on one more day, that's the Holy Spirit. So I think we rob ourselves by not paying a little more attention to the Holy Spirit. I was so struck when I was thinking about this morning in my message. You know, normally on Pentecost, or even the Thursday around Pentecost, I'll preach from that second chapter of Acts. But what I was drawn to this year was Jesus' words to his disciples. He says, because you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power. When you hear that word power, do you think, oh yeah, that's my life? Power. No, you know, we spend so much time just slugging through, trying to do the right stuff. We're like that light we were working with the boys earlier. You know, we're not plugged into the source. We live our lives almost like an iPhone. Like, we just get on the charger here Sunday morning or maybe Thursday night, and then we go out till our battery runs dead. That's not the life God intends for us. Jesus says, abide in me, and I'll abide in you. Stay plugged in. And how do we stay plugged in? It's through the Holy Spirit. We live this grit our teeth Christianity, I call it, where we think if we just do the right things, if we just read our Bibles, if we just try to pray, if we come to church, if we give our offering, you know, if we do the right things, we're going to be okay. And I'm telling you, trying to live that life like that is exhausting. It's grueling. It's frustrating. Jesus said, I didn't come for you to follow a bunch of rules and fulfill a bunch of obligations. I came to have a living relationship with you, that everything you do in your life, from coming to church to going at work to being at home, you can do in communion with me. And I will equip you with the gifts you need to do the things I've called you to do. And I'm going to even let you be a part of doing kingdom work, to be a part of something that is eternal. If you just live in relationship with me. And how do we do that? We do that by the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus kept predicting his death, the apostles kept saying, no, we don't want you to go. We don't want you to go. And who can blame them? Can you imagine what it was like to be physically there when Jesus was present in the flesh, what it was like to walk with him and talk with him and eat with him and hear his teaching, to watch him perform miracles? Of course they didn't want him to go. But Jesus says this very strange thing to them. He says to them, it's better for you if I go back to the Father, because then I can send the Spirit, the Counselor, the Advocate, the Comforter, all those names for the Holy Spirit, then I can send them. And all of a sudden, and we see it on this first day of Pentecost, all of a sudden Jesus is just not with his disciples, he's in them, living his life through them. Look at Peter. One of the last times we saw Peter in the Gospels was him standing around a fire denying three times that he even knew Jesus. This man who was in Jesus' inner circle, who loved Jesus passionately, who saw Jesus perform miracles, who he himself walked on the water with Jesus, who had seen Jesus take five loaves of bread and two fish and feed 5,000 men and God only knows how many women and children. Peter experienced that firsthand. Peter said to this Jesus, I don't care if everybody else in the world leaves you, I will not. That was Peter's heart. That's who he wanted to be. But Peter's flesh, when standing around a fire, knowing that Jesus was arrested, and people asked him, aren't you one of them, those followers of Jesus? He said, no, I'm telling you, I don't even know that man. Peter's no different than us. We're passionate about Jesus. We love him. We want to follow him. We want to do the things that he wants us to do. And our spirit's willing, but Paul reminds us our flesh is weak. So God says to us, then don't count on your flesh. Don't live by your flesh. Live by my spirit. Let me breathe my spirit into you. Let me give you new life. And we see it in Peter, because all of a sudden this man who denied Jesus stands up and preaches one of the greatest sermons ever preached. I'm telling you, nobody was looking at their watch. 3,000 people said, I want a part of what you have. That wasn't Peter, that's the Holy Spirit. And God didn't just promise it to some people. You know, all through the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon somebody, a king, a priest, a prophet, and they would have a word from God. In the day of Pentecost, the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, we see God's heart. And that's not just some people who are special and privileged get a touch of God, but everybody, men, women, young, old, everybody who believes in Jesus gets the Holy Spirit. Everybody counts. Everybody is invited. And I don't know about you, but I get so weary of walking in my own strength. I get tired of trying to be a good Christian. And I desperately need God's continual invitation to draw closer to him. Paul says in Ephesians, he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the verb he uses there is in the present tense. And what it means is continue to be filled. It's not there's a one-time dose and we're ready to go. It's living in this intimate, continual relationship with God as he pours himself into us and we pour ourselves out for him. And he pours himself into us and we pour ourselves out for him. It's the only way it works. It's the only way it works is for us to take our plug, if you will, and plug it into the source of all power. To plug it into the one who holds the world in order. To plug into the one who nothing is too hard for. To plug into the one who said, I will never leave or forsake you. To plug into the one who showed us what love was like because he went to a cross and gave his life for us. He didn't do that so we could live a little half life. He didn't do that so we could slug through the days waiting for the weekend to have some time off. He did that so we could be in relationship with Almighty God through the Spirit, that we would see him do transforming work in our lives, that we would see him empower us to not only live lives that glorify God, but to be messengers of this incredible message. Jesus said, the thief came to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. I don't know about you, but I want a little more of that. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And I'm going to ask you to do something very un-Presbyterian. If you want a little more, if you're tired of living a half-life, if you know God and you love him, but you know there's more of him, and that's the awesome thing about God. I don't know, it doesn't matter if you've known him for one day or if you've known him for 80 years. There's always more of God. If you want a little more of him, if you want to see a little bit of the power of God in your life, if you want to see God equip you to do kingdom work in a bigger way than you do it now, as we go to pray, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. And God will do it if you don't raise your hand, but there is something very cool about a physical response to a spiritual thing. It's why we have sacraments. There's something about taking something physical and making it spiritual. So let's pray. And if you want a little more of God, I invite you to raise your hand. Lord God, we thank you for the church. We thank you that you put us in community and you don't leave us here to live a Lone Ranger life. God, we are like a dry and weary land. We are desperate for more of you. No matter how well we know you, God, we know you have more. And we're tired of the status quo. We're tired of going through the motions. We're tired of playing church. And we want a real encounter with you. So God, we need you to open our eyes. We're asking for you to pour out your Holy Spirit on us, God, like you did that first day of Pentecost, to do a transforming work in our lives, to draw our hearts closer and closer to you, God, that we would live lives that give you glory, that we would see you, God, moving in our midst, healing your people, bringing us wholeness, God, bringing us closer to you. God, pour out your Spirit on us because we need you, because we want you, because we love you, because we long to be the people that you're calling us to do, and we cannot do that without you. God, we ask it in Jesus' name.